service. She'll be at one of the later ones. But we have the great privilege to just be able to serve and just love on our youth from grade 6 all the way through 12th grade. And it's been such a fun privilege for us to have. And we've been just having the time of our life. Just last night, we had a paint night with some of our students. And we all like learned how to paint. And we just hung out. And we just loved on each other. It was just, you know, just stuff like that. And just sharing the word and love of Jesus to the students has just been really fun and enjoyable. And I'm going to talk about the youth ministry for just a quick few moments, because I wanted to be able to just kind of tell you a little bit, because I haven't really had that opportunity. And then I'm going to share a little bit of my story, because some of you, this is maybe the first time you've seen me, and I just want to share a little of my background and where I came from before I get into the message. But before I do that, I went to the XO conference on Friday. And it was amazing. If those of you who went to that, it was inspiring. There was great messages, and I was really inspired by Max Licato. He told a joke right before he spoke, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do that on Sunday. So I'm gonna try, and hopefully you guys will laugh. We'll see what happens. You're laughing right now, so that's good. So there was this man. He was a wealthy man, and he lived in a faraway kingdom, all right? And he decided that he was going to throw a just mega party. He was going to gather the whole entire village together, and he was going to throw this extravagant party. And while he was sending out the invitations, he got three invitations, and these were special. He sent them to the three poorest people in the village. But these three poorest people were very hardworking. They weren't poor because of laziness or other circumstances. They were hardworking, and he sent them three invitations to meet him in the back of his in his garden behind his mansion. And so the party's going along, and this wealthy man goes to his garden, and these three men meet him in the back, and he's speaking to them, and he says, "I brought you back here because I'm gonna give you an opportunity. I want to share my wealth with one of you. I want to be able to give half of everything I own to one of you gentlemen, because I believe that you're hard workers. You get half of all my cars, my money, all of my possessions. You get half of my house. We'll split it right down the middle. You get half of everything I own. But there's one thing you have to do." And before they knew it, they were right in front of a swimming pool. And he looked at the three men. "The first one of you to jump into the pool, swim all the way across, gets half of everything I own." So the men examine the pool, and they realize that the pool is full of alligators. And, you know, they're chomping and they're hungry, you know, like it's like the Animal Planet special where you see the, you know, just snarling and just nasty creatures. And so each one of the men look at the pool and they're like, "Forget this. I don't want to risk my life to get like half of everything he owns." And so they all started to walk away. Then all of a sudden there's a splash, and the men turn around and they see one of the men just frantically swimming across the swimming pool as fast as he can. And he makes it to their side, and the wealthy man is just so astonished. He goes up and said, "That was incredible. You get half of everything I own. Every half of all my possessions, anything. You know what? I'm going to grant one of your first requests right now. Out of anything that I have, what do you want?" And the man, he's panting, and he says, "I just want to know who pushed me into the swimming pool." Okay, you laughed. That's good. You know, Megan and I, when it comes to youth ministry, we believe that it's our job to push our students to be the men and women that God has created them to be. And sometimes it takes a push into the scariness, the unknown. Maybe something's going to be a little hard, a little nerve-wracking for them to be able to get to the place that God wants them to be. And so this morning I'm going to be sharing, but I also have two students that are going to be sharing their testimonies and how God has just had an encounter with them, how they had an encounter with the King. And because of that encounter, everything has changed in their life. And so, real quick, let me just talk about our youth ministry. We believe that we need to model to our students a Christ-like relationship. We need to mentor them. And lastly, it's that push. We need to mobilize them to be the men and women who God called them to be. And it's so cool because since we've been doing this, especially this last year, God's been doing some amazing things this last year. The first 2 years was, you know, trying to see where God's leading us. But this last year, our students have been just been touched by God. And it's really cool just to give you a little bit of what's to come. For the next 7 Wednesdays, there's about 12 students that are going to be sharing the gospel to their peers. So one Wednesday, one of the students is, and then there's going to be a few tag teams where a couple students are sharing the gospel. But our students are being trained and mobilized to be able to share their faith to their peers. And it's been really cool because some of them, they've come to me and said, "Hey, Pastor Tyler, I want to preach and I want to learn how to share my faith to my friends." They've come to us and they've made the initiative. Others, Megan and I said, "All right, we see it in you. You're going to do it." And they're like, "Oh no, oh man." But when they do it, God truly uses them in a special way. And so it's been really cool to see the growth, not only, you know, the number of kids that come in, but also just the spiritual growth that is taking place in our students' lives. And I just know that God is going to just take them to do amazing things. Our kind of dream is that everybody should know how to share the gospel and preach or share a message regardless of what they do. They could be a pastor, they could be a missionary, but hey, they could be a teacher, a businessman, a businesswoman, and we believe that we should empower students to, even if they're going to go in the business world, for them to have that knowledge and the ability to share a message, share their testimony so that others can learn about Jesus. So that's kind of what's been going on. It's been amazing. It's been really fun. You know, more exciting things are coming, and those of you who have kids in the youth ministry, we'll give that to you soon. Guys, what I'm going to talk about today is everything changes. That's the title of my message. Everything changes. But let me give you my big idea. Like, I'm gonna give you guys the tweetable line, my main point. I only got one main point today. This is what my message is about to you. About everything changes when you encounter the King. Everything changes when you encounter the King. So I told you I would share a little bit about my life. I grew up in California, and boy, do I miss California during the winter months. Pastor Nick has shared to me many times that actually our winters have been mild since I've been here, and I think to myself, what are the winters like when I wasn't here? Like, this is, anytime it snows, I'm like, oh my gosh. When it was, like, in the negatives the other day, I was like, "Megan, can we even go outside? Will we die?" Like once we step outside the door, we'll like just freeze. And Megan, Megan grew up in Oregon, so on the West Coast as well. But she grew up in the mountains, so she's like, "No, like, we'll be okay. Like, it has to be like really, really cold for you to just freeze on the spot." Megan's also smarter than I am, so that helps. anyway, so we both grew up on the West Coast. And God both called us to Springfield, Missouri, to go to Evangel University, and that's where we met. But before that, I was introduced to Christ. I had my encounter with the King at a very young age. You see, my parents, they started going to church when I was 3 years old, and they knew the importance of us being in a place where we can learn about Christ, and we could just in their minds in the beginning was like, "Oh, this will make our kids better people." That's what they were thinking in the beginning. But as we just continued to grow up in the church, God just totally transformed our family. There was at one point where I thought my parents were going to get divorced, but they didn't, because God showed up. And my parents have a beautiful relationship to this day. And they're actually coming in March, so I'm really looking forward to that. But God totally transformed our family's life. When I was in junior high, I had a mentor who was a youth leader. He wasn't the youth pastor. He was just one of our youth leaders. And I remember me and my twin brother, we would go and we would just hang out with, he's a pastor now, Pastor Felix. And we would just ask him questions. Well, in the beginning, we would just watch movies with him. We'd watch Lord of the Rings and other movies and just hang out. And then it grew from just hanging out to, "Hey, Pastor Felix, what does the Bible mean when it says this?" And we would start asking and talking about the things of the Lord. And then one day after youth service when I was in junior high, the youth pastor gave the altar call, and I didn't go up, but the Lord was working in my life. And we went home with Pastor Felix, and he dropped us off, and we were just talking, and I went inside my room, and I just had an encounter with the King, and I asked him to be the ruler of my life. And from that day, my life has been just a crazy, awesome adventure. I started going on missions trips when I was 15 years old, and the Lord gave me a heart and a hunger and a desire just to go to other countries and share the love of Jesus. And then from there, my relationship with God just continued to grow. And me and my brother, we were known on our football team. I played football, I know, it's a shock. We were known on our football team as the twins who were Jesus freaks. That's what we were known as. That we love Jesus. And that was true because by the end of our senior year, we had our entire football team going to youth group with us every single Wednesday. Every single one. You see, everything changed for my brother's lives and myself when we had an encounter with the King. It wasn't about popularity. It wasn't about what we were heavily involved with sports and other things that our school was doing, but that wasn't the main focus. Our main focus was how can we use sports, how can we use everything else as a platform to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, some of this, you're like, oh my gosh, it sounds so easy. You must have been like heaven's children, or you must have been like such good children. It wasn't easy. We had the same temptations as everybody else. We had to walk. We went to a public high school. We had to walk through everything else. There was times where I stumbled and fell, and I messed up, and the Lord had to extend grace to me. But the encounter I had with the King never left me. And that continued to propel me forward into the destiny and the place that God was bringing me to. And he's still bringing me to this day. So after I was about to graduate high school, I was talking to my lead pastor. And I grew up in the Assemblies of God Church, just like Harvest Time. And I said, all right, where do I need to go to school? And at that time, Central Bible College was still a school. And you know, that was like the main school of the Assemblies of God, and he says, you need to go there. You need to go to Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. So my brother and I, we go to Central Bible College. We end up going to Evangel the next year, and God just continued to just build upon the foundation of that first encounter with him. Continued to give me dreams. My original goal was to go into missions right after I graduate from high school, but then he said, okay, no, actually, you're going to do youth ministry first. You're going to do this first, and then we'll see where I take you from there. And then I also met my beautiful bride at Evangel University, and everything changed because you see, like, the tamed-down version right now. Ever since when I came to Harvest Time, you guys saw the tamed-down, like, not-so-crazy, doing crazy, like, things. Megan always frustrated when we were in college because if there was a sign that said, do not do something, I would be like, all right, let's do it. You know, like, that's kind of in my nature, the rebellious nature, I guess. Ooh, that's bad. But Megan forever changed my life. And God placed her in my life because he knew that she would compliment me and make me a better man because that's his purpose with marriage, as many of you know. So came to a point where I was looking for a youth pastor job. God brought me here to Harvest Time, and I've just been loving every single moment of it. Megan and I got married 2016, we've just been enjoying every moment here at Harvest Time. So I share my testimony to say that God changed everything for Megan and I when we had an encounter with the King. Everything changes when you have an encounter with the King. Real quick, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 20 through verses 1 through 2. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 2. That's where we're going to be. Before I do that, I have a question for you. How many of you, everything changed when you fell in love? Like everything. Like when you met your spouse, maybe you're in a dating relationship right now, but the way you acted, everything changed like when you fell in love with that person. So that's how it was for me. Like I told you, I was crazy when I was in college. We did fun adventures. But when I saw Megan walk into the library for the first time when I was working, I was like, oh my gosh, the Lord sent an angel. Woo! And I knew I had to talk to her. And so we were in the dating phase, and Megan, she's, like I said, I didn't tell you this, she's a math teacher. She is incredibly smart. She graduated from her master's program with a 4.0 GPA. She is, and she never got 1B throughout college. She is incredibly smart. And so I knew that I needed to just be on my game to win her over, to just for her to fall in love with me. And so I remember she worked in a tutor, a math tutoring center. And I found this out, and so one day I was texting her, and I was like, hey, like, you know, you're in the math tutoring lab center. Would you like some coffee? And she's like, yeah, sure. You know, she didn't think anything of it. And so I, like drive to Starbucks, get a coffee, and while she's, like, tutoring people, I, like, just deliver it to her. And then I would do this every single day. I would go to the math tutoring center every single day, and I would deliver her coffee. And there was this guy that he was like, man, this guy needs a lot of help with math. He's here every single day. Like, this guy, and the funny thing is, I wasn't even in a math class. I was, like, done with all my, like math requirements, but I was just going there every single day because I was in love. And I was, like, I was just, I knew that I just wanted to be with Megan. Even if it was in a math tutoring center, I just wanted to be around her. My brother, he has a little baby. She's 2 years old, and everything changed for my brother when they had that child. We were home for Christmas, and we were taking a family photo, and they were trying to get Avery's attention, and they're like, ah, you know, doing all these things, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's what you become when you become a parent. You're like trying to do this crazy circus to just get this child's attention for this photo. The same thing happens when we have an encounter with the King. Our heart starts to change. Our attitudes, or the way we act, starts to change when we have an encounter with the true King Jesus. And we want to do everything in our power just to get at a place of worship, just get to a place of just love and just surrendering everything we have to Jesus. Everything changes when we have an encounter with the King. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 2 says, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him, and he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Lord, I just thank you for this message. Lord, I pray that you just send this message and just penetrate the hearts of everyone in this room. Lord, I pray that we have an encounter with you that changes everything in our life moving forward. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory in your name. Amen. I want to give you a little background on this text that I just read to you. King David, many of you have heard of him. He wasn't king at this time. King David was actually an outlaw in his own nation, his own land, and he was on the run from the king. He was trying to escape and get away from Saul and get away and get to a place where his life would be spared. And so what does he do? He goes to a place where he can hide, he can lay low, and he goes to a cave. And Saul is on the hunt to try to take out King David. And in this moment of desperation, in this time where everybody is against him, David has an encounter with the King, the true King God. And he cries out to God and he asks God for help. And God answers in a very, very strange way. How many of you have ever experienced that before? You're in a desperate situation. You're in a time where you're like, oh man, I'm in trouble and I need God to show up right now. The finances aren't looking good. I'm having marital issues. I'm having family problems. I'm in a desperate situation. I'm on the run. I feel like everybody is against me. A lot of times teenagers feel that way. When they go to school, that everybody's against them, that they don't know where to turn, that no one else is a Christian on their school campus. But I feel like you guys can, the adults can feel that way too at your job. You feel like you're the only Christian. How can you act Christ-like in a place where there's not one other Christian among you? Everybody is against you. David is at a place where everybody is against him, and he cries out to God, and God answers in a way that David didn't think God would answer. And God sends the misfits, the outcasts, the people that are on the fringes of society, the people that are, you know, maybe homeless, they're poor, they're not an army, they're not a people group. We're like, you know, when they were coming to the cave, David wasn't like, yes, here comes my army that we're going to take back the land. No, they weren't those type of people. They were the people that were outcasts in the society. And that's actually probably why they actually came to King David's aid, because they were like, you know what, this is someone that we can believe in. This is someone that is just like us. He's on the fringes. And actually, they were probably thinking that, you know what, he's going to help us take revenge against Saul. Because at this time, as many of you know, if you're in Pastor Nick's class, Saul is a mad king. He's crazy. And he's everybody knows it in the land. And so they come to the people's champion, King David. Like I said, at the time, he's not the king. And they come to seek refuge for him. And can you imagine that conversation afterwards? David's like, God, like, these are the people you send me? These are the people that I'm going to take, that you've called me to be king, and these are the people that you're going to help me build this kingdom? You know what? These men, and if some of you may know this, these outcasts, these misfits, these people that were on the fringes of society, they were the exact people that David needed. Because if some of you may know, these misfits, these outcasts, they went from being a misfit, from an outcast, to being the mighty men of King David. And we hear so many cool stories in the Word of God of David's mighty men. Cool stories where one of them was fighting so long that his sword fused to his hand. Just crazy, awesome stories of God using these men. But they didn't start out that way. They didn't roll up to David's cave as mighty men. They came up as misfits, outcasts. Let me go back to my big idea. Everything changes when you have an encounter with the king. And David was these people's king. Everything changed when they were in the presence of King David, and more so with God, because God was with King David. But everything changed for these men, and they went down. A lot of people don't remember that they were misfits, outcasts, but what the people, when they read the Word of God, they remember these men as the mighty men of King David. You know, it's really cool. Some of us feel like misfits. Some of us feel like outcasts. Some of us feel like, you know what? What's happening? I don't know what to do. I'm at my point of desperation. King David's not our king, but Jesus, he is our king. Jesus is the one that, as misfits, as outcasts, as people that don't know what to do, when we go to Jesus, everything changes. When we have an encounter with Jesus, we go from being misfits to mighty men and women. We go from being on the fringes and not knowing what to do, but being empowered by God to know what to do, in the next step, to know how to solve this problem in our life. Today, I believe that when we have an encounter with God, we're going to go from being a misfits to a people of God that are mighty and ready to take back the land for Jesus Christ. And that's what I believe. I believe that we're going to rise up as the church, rise up, and I believe, and I talk this way to the youth, that we're going to rise up to take back what the enemy has taken. Today, I want to talk to you about the who, the what, the when, the why, and the how, and how all that changes when we have an encounter with the king. Who changes? You do. Everyone is changed when they have an encounter with the king. Like I said, we go from misfits to mighty men and women. We go from being lost to found with Jesus. We are given a purpose when we have an encounter with Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Everything changes when we have an encounter with Jesus. You know what? Not only will we be changed, but when we have an encounter with the King, everyone around us will see the difference, and they can be changed. Some of you are believing for a family member, someone that is lost, to find Jesus, to have that encounter with the King. Let me first say, start with yourself and have that amazing encounter with the King that becomes so infectious that everybody around you sees that something is different. When I first got here, and let me just say this right off the bat because it's part of the story, I have a tattoo. Lost some of the crowd here, but I have a tattoo on my arm. We walked, me and two students, we walk into Timberland. We're at the mall, and I had a short sleeve shirt on, and I'm talking to the sales associate, and he starts freaking out, like physically in the store. He's like, oh my gosh, like, this is amazing. And I'm like, what? He's like, what does your tattoo say? And it's Luke 9:23. Therefore, if you want to be a disciple of mine, pick up your cross and die to yourself daily. And he's like, and I tell him that, and he's like, oh my goodness, that is amazing. That is exactly what I needed to hear. You know what? When all three of you walked into the store, I just felt something different. I felt the atmosphere change. I felt like there was something different in this room. I was like, oh my goodness, I hope this guy doesn't get fired. That was exactly, because it was like everybody was looking at us. But he felt something different. He could feel Jesus. He could feel the presence on all three of us when we walked into the room. When we have an encounter with the King, people are going to take notice. They're going to feel the difference in the room when you walk in. I mentioned that when we have an encounter with the King, we're given purpose. And that's, I want to introduce Kayla, our first student speaker. And she is going to share how when she had an encounter with the King, she was given purpose. Kayla, her parents go to Harvest Time, and she's been coming here for a long time, and she's going to share a little bit about her testimony, but it wasn't till that she had that encounter and God gave her purpose that everything changed. So give it up for Kayla as she comes up.
Hi, like Tyler said, my name is Kayla. So, before June of 2016, I said I was a Christian. I went to church, but I never actually knew what it meant to be a Christian or to have a relationship with God. I guess I was never really taught it. I never encountered anything that really opened my eyes to see that way. So in June of 2016, my dad's mom passed away. And just a little bit of background on her, she was an amazing singer, but didn't pursue that as a career out of fear. And as she noticed that I was getting more involved in music, she told me, fear held me back, but it's not going to hold you back. So after she passed away, I felt lost, and I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. I felt unloved, and I was very annoyed. So by September of 2016, I had lost my faith. I had absolutely no respect for church. I was rude, and my attitude towards God and anything of God changed dramatically. My friend group changed, and I got closer with people who were not good influences on my life. I got involved with Ouija boards, tarot cards, and I even praised the devil. My soul was so dark, and it was visible to everyone around me. My attitude towards my parents changed. I was very disrespectful towards them. Every other word that came out of my mouth was a curse word. And I started even believing that humans that I couldn't see were watching me. Fear was always around me, but it felt fun. So in December of 2016, I bought Justin Bieber's album, Purpose, and I loved it. But when I realized he had put some songs on there about God and his faith, I stopped listening to it. In March of 2017, at school, I was being bullied for being friends with certain people. I feel like I wasn't here for a reason, and I didn't have a purpose. I thought that if I hurt myself, would anyone care? But that really didn't last long. The people that I had started hanging out with ditched me, spread rumors about me, and hurt me. So suicide was my next thought. But each time I thought about it, something told me one more day. After a rough day at school and coming home to fight and argue with my parents, that was the day I was going to take my life. Randomly, I listened to the song Purpose by Justin Bieber, and I felt overwhelmed by God. All the thoughts of suicide were gone. I knew there was one thing I needed to do, rededicate my faith, So I went up to Megan, Pastor Tyler's wife, on a Wednesday night, and we talked for over an hour about how to move out of the situation that I was in. She recommended finding a life verse, and very quickly God showed me what verse was most special for my life. It's Proverbs 19:21. It says, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." I am here for a purpose, to make an impact on people's lives, and my voice is to be heard and not silent. God used Justin Bieber, of all people, to show what Jesus can do through music, and it saved my life.
Isn't that powerful? I love that. God used Justin Bieber, of all people. That's amazing. So remember, God can use anybody and anything for you to have an encounter with him. When we have an encounter with the King, we are changed, and others around us are changed as well. The what? What changes when we have an encounter with Jesus? We are changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new." Someone is holding back old things. Old things that are just driving you crazy. Things that are you're just holding on to from the past. That God wants to just completely transform and just take control of that in your life. When you have an encounter of Christ, you will be made new and you will release the old things that you're holding on to. Our circumstances are changed. We become misfits into mighty men and women of God. Our worries are changed. Our status is changed. Our parenting and the way we interact with our kids is changed. You know what? That actually really changed my mom's life. I can't really give an example of myself because I don't have kids yet. But my mom, she's a mighty woman of God. And when she had an encounter with the King, everything changed in her parenting style for me and my brothers. People thought my mom was crazy. And she was a little crazy, but in a good way. She would walk up to girls that were talking to me and say, "What are you doing with my son? My son has a purpose." I'd be like, "Mom, stop it. Don't embarrass me." No joke, when I posted a picture of me, this is a little, you don't have to do this, but this is my mom did, and I love her. I'm glad she did, actually. Save me. But when I posted a picture of Megan on Facebook for the first time, my mom Facebook messaged Megan and said, "Hey, can I have a talk to you about my son?" We weren't even dating yet, but Megan was like, "Yeah, no problem. I would love to." And I was like, she's the one. If she can handle my mom, I know she's the one. I love my mom, but my mom saved me from a lot of things because she knew that God had a purpose and a plan for my life, and she knew that her temporary assignment in raising me was something that she wasn't going to hold on to lightly. I would be like, "Mom, come on, like the Martins, they're doing it. Like, why can't I do that?" She's like, "You're not called to be the Martins. God has a different and specific assignment for your life." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me." So don't compare yourself to others. Don't look at Facebook and say, "Hey, that's how they're parenting." But look at the Word of God and say, "This is how I'm gonna base my parenting and how I raise my kids." And I'm an example of, since my mom did that, like, I feel like I turned out pretty good. My other brother's a youth pastor, and my little brother's going to Lee University to be a worship pastor. So God completely transformed our family. And that wasn't said to bring anybody down, so please know my heart on that. I'm not, like, trying to tell you how to do things, but I just wanted to give you an example of something that my mom did and how God transformed that area. Our marriage changes. Our singleness, the way we're single changes. Our relationships, our goals, our businesses are changed. Our worship to God is changed. Our prayer life is changed. Everything is changed when we have an encounter with the King. What changes when we have an encounter with the King? Everything changes. When will the change take place? That's a hard thing for high school students. Like, "Oh my gosh, I'm still going through high school. It's so hard." Maybe it's hard for you here. Like, when is this encounter going to change my circumstance? I'm worshiping. When is this going to take place? You know, I'm going to give you a little hope. When the men, the misfits that went and encountered David, they didn't, like, automatically go, like, they walked in the cave and boom, like, mighty men and women of God right there. No, it was a process. It was a time. It took time for them to become mighty men. For some of you in this room, when you have an encounter of Jesus, change is going to happen right away. But for others, it's going to be a lifelong process. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Why? Why does everything change when we have an encounter with the King? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. Why does everything change? Because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Everything changed because God loves us. And he wants to take us from being misfits into be the men and women he's called us to be. It's because the love of Christ that we're able to change. Once we have an encounter with Jesus and that love envelops us, we are going to be imitators of the King. I'm going to throw this picture up on the screen real quick. It's going to be super embarrassing for myself, but you're going to enjoy it, so go ahead and put it up. That right there is me with the spiky hair and the dyed hair on top. My little brother is on the carousel, and my other brother, my twin brother's right there. We are all wearing tie-dye shirt, and we are on a carousel. Super weird, super awkward. But my little brother and I, we have spiky hair, and I have some dye in my hair. I told you about the mentor, the leader that was in my life that I looked up to that told me the things about the Lord. I looked up to him so much. I remember going home, and I was like, Mom, I want to play drums like JR. I want to be cool like Pastor Felix. I want to have spiky, crazy, cool hair like Pastor Felix. I was wanting to do everything and be like Pastor Felix because I thought he was so cool. When we have an encounter with the King, we are to be imitators of Christ. And we're like, you know what? The Word of God says this, and this is what Jesus did. I want to do that because Jesus did that. We are to be imitators of Christ. And in that, Luke 9:23 says, we're to die just to ourselves, just like Christ. How? How does everything change when we have an encounter with the King? I'm going to give you three things how that can happen. The first is we need to spend time with Jesus. Like this seems probably very elementary to you, but sometimes we need to hear these things. First is we need to spend time with Jesus. We need to spend time with the King. If I didn't spend time with Megan and those of you who are in relationships, you would know that there would be no relationship there. There would be no love if we didn't spend time together. And the same thing is for us. If we don't spend time with Jesus in prayer, in our devotions, in our everyday lives, then there's not going to be any love. We're not going to have any love for Jesus. We're not going to be changed because there's nothing that, there's no relationship. The second is this, surround yourself with believers. I tell the students all the time, if you're going to have an encounter with the King and you want to stay with that encounter with the King, then you know what? Surround yourself with Christians. Don't surround yourself with those who aren't following Christ. You know, my mom, another way she saved me is I would ask, because like I said, I was on the football team. I would ask, hey, Mom, can I go hang out with my football friends? And she would say, is there alcohol at the house? I'm like, probably in the cabinet. Nope, you can't go. Is there this at the house? Who's there? And I'd be like, oh my gosh. And you know what's funny? Is I knew if I went to that party, if I went and hung out with those people group, something bad may have happened. I may have tried something. I may have experimented with something. But my mom knew that I needed to surround myself with the people that I wanted to be like if God was going to continue to transform my life. My youth pastor would say, who your friends are, that's who you're going to become. Third is serve. You know what? We have a great church, and it's only great because of you, because many of you serve week after week to make this thing run and operate. I tell the students all the time that if they want to activate the full relationship that God has for them in their life, they need to serve, because it's like this. What happens when you go to McDonald's week after week after week and no exercise? You get obese. You get overweight. You know, the same thing can happen here if we just come to church week after week after week and we have our popcorn and we're just listening to the messages. You know, there's a spiritual obesity that can take place. And the only way for that to not happen is by activating and serving in the church. And you know what's cool about this church is there's a lot of you that do serve, because that's why harvest time is awesome. Everything changes when we have an encounter of the King. Lastly, Michael is going to come up and share about how he had an encounter with the King and how everything changed. And then we're going to hurry up and close because I'm running out of time. Michael, come on up.
All right, so my name is Michael, for those who don't know me. I've been coming here for about 4 years now. So today I'm going to share how one little encounter with God was like the best thing that ever happened to me and how it truly changed everything for me. So when I first started coming here, I was like any other like kid. I had no clue what was going on or why I was here. I had a low attention span, and I never really paid attention to what was going on. I was basically just going because my grandparents brought me here. My relationship with God was basically non-existent. Around that time, I was going through some hard and challenging things, which I still deal with to this day. Both my parents aren't in my life right now, which is still the case. But I learned that with God, I can have happiness and joy in my heart no matter what I go through. Let me share my life before. So before I started coming here to church, I had little exposure to church, but not enough. I knew that God existed, but I had no clue you can have such a relationship with him. Having what I have now kind of makes me mad that I never had that in my past. I used to spend a lot of time with my parents. Life back then was pretty nice and simple, and I had no worries. So fast forward to about sixth grade when I was about 11 years old. This is when my dad was sent to prison. This was a difficult situation in my life at such a young age. It was like everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, my perspective of life changed. I started going through depression. But all that changed a year later. I learned to like deal with everything, and I felt back to normal, and my depression went away. But then I was faced with the most challenging situation of my life, which was my mom. She had an asthma attack, and she fell into a coma. This literally came out of nowhere for me. At this point, I didn't know what to think. Now the depression I once had was back and stronger more than ever. I didn't know what would happen to me now that I didn't have both my parents in my life. Lucky enough, I had two willing grandparents to take me and my sisters in through all this. They sacrificed a lot and still do to this day. Even though they're not here right now, I want to thank them because without them, I probably wouldn't be here today. So this is how it changed. I don't have both my parents in my life, but I'm no longer going through any depression. Just because I started coming here to church and became a Christian doesn't mean my circumstances have changed. Even though I'm still going through these situations, it doesn't stop me from having joy in my heart and happiness from God. This is how my life changed for the better. So one Saturday at church, this was towards the end of my eighth grade year, Kurt, one of the youth leaders, I'm pretty sure everyone here knows Kurt, he came up to me and invited me to the youth group. I was kind of hesitant at first. I was like, what is this? I don't want to go here. So I decided to listen to him more and see what it's like. So the Wednesday following that Saturday, I went. And when I first got there, I had no clue what to think. I didn't know if I would be accepted there. I was then introduced to some of the kids and made new friends. Youth group seemed like fun, and I started going week after week. I soon learned that I'm accepted no matter what and that God doesn't judge me. It was fun seeing my friends there week after week at youth group, but there's more to youth group than that and church than that. It's also about having a relationship with God, learning about him, talking to him, and reading about him. But I didn't really learn this until a couple years ago when I was invited to the youth retreat. I went there because I thought it would be a nice, fun weekend to spend time with my friends, but little did I know that God has something huge in store for me. At the retreat, my cousin, Cyril Posha, he shared his testimony, and I wanted to show him some support, so for once, I paid attention and listened for once. So I saw and heard how God helped him and how God changed his life. And while I was listening, I thought, I want what he has. So after he shared his testimony, they had a little altar call, and I said yes and accepted. I had my first real encounter with Jesus for the first time. We then worshiped, and it was like God came alive inside of me. I had this desire to worship all of a sudden. There I was starting to sing along with the worship team. I started putting my hands up, not really knowing why, but I continued. It was like all of a sudden, I didn't care what other people around me thought of me. So I closed my eyes, started to pray, and God showed himself to me. I felt God's presence with me, and I felt the Holy Spirit inside of me. It was like it all just became alive all of a sudden. Right then and there, I made the decision to give my life to Jesus and to serve him right there and out and let him guide and lead my life. Since then, I've grown my relationship with him, and I continue to grow him daily with prayer, reading the Bible, coming to church, you know. All the depression I once had was now gone, but this time I knew it was for good. All the anger inside of me from my past disappeared. And I now know that God loves me and cares for me and gives me a sense of security and wholeness. This particular Bible verse spoke to me, and I always like to go back to it. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is just the beginning of my testimony, and I know that God has big things in store for me, and the best is yet to come. Thank you.
Can we all stand up together, please? This is just a simple gospel-centered message that everything changes when we let Jesus be the Lord of our life. And I just wanted to share my testimony, Kayla and Michael to share their testimony. And you know what? Sometimes you just need to be just energized and excited for the things of the Lord. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to pray over you. And then if you want, Jason's just going to sing a little bit, and then I'll come back up and I'll close out. But Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you that everything changes when we have an encounter with the King, your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room right now that has never had an encounter with the King, that maybe they want to rededicate their life to the King, Lord, I pray right now that they begin to just have that encounter with you where they're at. Lord, they just begin to just run to you in this moment. Lord, I thank you for Kayla. Lord, I thank you for Michael, and I thank you for them being vulnerable enough and willing to just share how you changed their life, and the best is yet to come. Lord, I pray that for that over everybody in this room, Lord, that the best is yet to come as they continue to have an encounter with the King. Lord, we love you and we praise you in your name. Amen. Guys, let's have an encounter with the King for a few moments, and let's just worship.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, and so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. Just go with your people as they go about their day, Lord. Just bless them as they eat their delicious meals in a few moments. And I pray, Lord, we will be a people that just continue to have an encounter with you. Lord, we praise you. And all God's people said? And all God's people said? Amen. All right, God bless you.